to Revelation chapter 20. Mark that one as well. Now, if you are born again, you're saved, no doubt about it, man. You can say, you can lay down your head tonight and realize that if the sun doesn't come up tomorrow, if the Lord comes back, you're going to be in heaven bound because you trusted Christ your Savior. What I want from you is just kind of help me preach this message, just kind of encourage me and praise and worship the Lord through this whole thing, because I've got some things that I'm going to preach, but I've got some things that I'm going to read as well. All right? Luke chapter 18, the Bible says in verse number 18. Y'all there? All right. Luke chapter 18, the Bible says in verse number 18, a certain ruler. Now, notice that phrase, just a certain ruler. Doesn't give you his name, doesn't give you anything like that. Just as a certain ruler, ask him, saying, good master, asking the Lord right here, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, now notice this is one of the most important questions in all the Bible, probably the most important except for like Acts chapter 16, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He's asking basically the same question. He's asking, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, verse number 19, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother. Hard time out real quick, all right? Don't let any false doctrine slip into your mind or anything like that. And God, or the Lord, you know, God manifests in the flesh. He's not giving him the plan of salvation. You must understand you have violated God's law, that you are a sinner. And the only way we know we're a sinner is when we look into God's law, realizing that I violated God's righteousness. I violated God's law, and therefore I am a sinner and I need a Savior. This man's coming up to him saying, what can I do to inherit eternal life? He's giving him the commandments, 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And the Lord didn't argue or debate about it. He kept on going. Verse number 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard these, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Amen. He was very rich. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, dear God, for giving us the opportunity to preach your word. And I pray tonight, dear God, that you help me to say what I need to say. Help me not to say anything that would be a burden, to be a hindrance to anybody. I pray, Father, that you help me to say every word. I realize that, Father, on the day of judgment, I'll give an account of what I'm about to teach and preach. So, Father, the best way that I can, I yield myself to you, and I'm asking you here, God, to help me say everything that I need to say. Help me be a faithful preacher of the gospel. Help me be a faithful steward of your word tonight. Help me to say everything, Father, exactly the way that you would say it. And, Father, guide my words. And, Holy Spirit of God, as the words come out of my mouth, Lord, I pray that you anoint those words and bathe them in your blood. And, Father, before they hit the minds and hearts of the believers, Father, you just please anoint them and help people to receive it as it is, the precious and holy and right word of God. Help me tonight, dear Lord. I love you and I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. This is by far one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And whenever it comes down through here, it talks about this. This man's story is in Matthew chapter 19. And all this will add up here in a second. It's in Matthew chapter 19. It's in Mark chapter 10. And it's in Luke chapter 18. Three different times God takes time from his holy scripture. Now think about it. I would be honored if God wrote my name down one time in his book. But I probably would hate the story that he told on me. Amen? But God records this man's story three different times, and all it says is a certain man or a certain ruler. This man, the one thing that we do know about this man is he was very rich. Vance Havner, an old preacher, said it like this. He said this rich young ruler had money, he had manners, and he had morals. He had money because the Bible says that he was a rich ruler. He had manners because he came kneeling and said, good master. He had morals because I believe that he really made an effort to keep the law. But listen to this part. But he may have had money, manners, and morals. But the one thing that he was missing was the Messiah. He did not have Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then one day this just like jumped up and slapped me. Just jumped up and sucker punched me one day whenever I was reading my Bible. I got to thinking about this. probably everybody in this town that he lived in, and that, especially in that community, they probably knew a lot about this man. I mean, just take y'all for example. I don't live here, and I'm not from around here, anywhere close from here, but I could probably take you outside, and I could say, take me to the richest man in this county, and y'all could probably drive me around here and show me where he lives and what his farm is and everything like that, because just something about it, we know that. I got to thinking, man, probably people in this community, they knew this man, they knew where he worked. He probably had people under his authority because the Bible says that he was a ruler. They knew where he lived, what he done for a living. They knew his family. They knew what kind of camel he drove. Help me.
Yeah.
Amen. The people in this town probably knew a lot about him. But all of a sudden, there's one man walks into this town, Jesus Christ, that cannot be intimidated. He cannot be impressed by all the money and the riches and fame that this man might have had. And in fact, Jesus Christ, in three times that he tells us this story, he did not even take the time to tell us his name. People in the town probably respected him. They probably called him sir. They probably called him by his first name and his second name. But whenever it come to Jesus Christ, he was just a certain man. One of these days we'll all stand before God, and on that day it does not matter whether we owned our own business, whether we got $10 million in the bank. It won't matter what our last name is. If our name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, if we have never been born again, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 that God will look at us and say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. This guy probably was respected in his town. He was known in his town. Had all kinds of employees. But without Jesus Christ, he's just a certain man. There's a certain man. There's a certain woman. You say, well, you don't know who I am. Without Jesus Christ, you're a certain man. You might be somebody here. You might be somebody in the community. But without Jesus Christ, the most important one, you're just some certain man. Does that make sense? Let me explain it to you like this. Y'all got in Revelation chapter 20? Mark that real quick, because I want to read this, and then I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'm going to get out of the way. Most important decision that you can make is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can get the whole Bible messed up, but if you get salvation right, you'll end up in the right place. But you can get the whole Bible divided up exactly right, but if you miss salvation, even though you can quote Scripture, listen, there'll be more Scripture quoted in hell than any place else. Amen. You say what? Without the Lord, it was just a certain man. Everybody stooped and bowed. He really thought he was something here on this earth. But the day he met the Lord didn't even mention his name in three different times. Matthew didn't tell you his name. Mark didn't tell you his name. Luke didn't tell you his name. You say, why? Because the Bible says he'll look at them and say, depart, I never knew you. But if you're saved, the Lord knows your name. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. Amen. Y'all with me? All right. Now listen to this. On April the 10th, on a Wednesday, in 1912, in a place called Southampton, England, 2,224 souls boarded a ship, and y'all know it, called the Titanic. Before boarding this ship, they were put into four separate categories. They were put into first class, to second class, to third class, and then the fourth class was called stewards or the crew. There were 319 first class tickets sold. There was 269 second class. There was 699 third class, and there was 937 crew members on board. Which kind of ticket that you had determined which class that you would be in, but it also determined what type of mattress you slept on. It determined what type of stay that you had, what type of room service you had. It also determined what type of meals and all that type of stuff. Like if you had first class, you had the best service, you had the best meals, you had the best mattresses, you had the best, I mean the best that it could offer, and it just went on down there depending on what class of individual you was on that. The local papers before the Titanic took off, the local papers published the names of the individuals that were all in first class, second class, third class, and the crew. They all had that out there, and they made a big deal, because if you was first class, you could hold that paper up and you could see first class ticket and your name was there. Second class, it was right there. Third class, it was right there. And then the crew. All that stuff really mattered. And so weeks before leaving, the papers were published, the articles were written. There was a big to-do. And on the day that the Titanic took off, hundreds of people gathered and they cheered as they boarded up. They hollered out, they said, first class. And first class got all their luggage and everything, and they was loading up, and everybody was cheering for them and waving goodbye, second class, third class, and so on and so forth. Everybody was cheering for him. 2,224 souls got on board. But late Sunday night on April the 14th, they'd taken off on the 10th. On April the 14th, the Titanic struck an iceberg, knocking a hole in the side, and by the next morning, April the 15th, the Titanic was at the bottom of the ocean with 2,224 souls on board. When the ship began sinking, the first class passengers were given the priority, and they were given priority to the lifeboats, then second class, then third class, and then the rest. By the time the Titanic sank, listen to this, more than 1,500 people had already drowned. The rescue ship was sent out, called the Carpathia. It was sent out to collect the survivors that were going to bring them back to land. They left on April the 10th, and on April the 18th, the Carpathia docked on Pier 54 in the Hudson River in New York. This ship, news of the ship that had been sinking was reported. So naturally, on the other side of New York, there was hundreds, if not thousands, of people that had gathered to come see the survivors. This is my point. On this side, they were in England. On this side, if I got a first-class ticket, it mattered. My food was better. My service was better. My mattress was better. They treated me better. I ate in a better restaurant. I had better dining utensils. I had better food. I had better water. I had better everything. On this side, it mattered whether I was first class, second class, third class, or fourth class. But when they left England and they got on the other side, you've got to remember they hit a crash. They crashed out here. There was 2,224 that took off right here, and this mattered to them. Social status mattered to them. What they lived in, what they drove, what kind of style of their clothes, everything mattered on this side. But when they got on the other side over there, when they landed in New York, they got off the boat. There was hundreds, if not thousands, of people that was watching these survivors get off. Because they heard that the mighty Titanic had crashed. Are y'all with me?
Yeah, right.
And when they got there, there was an individual that was there watching them come off the Carpathia, and he was writing down their names. They published an article about a week later. Listen to this. This ought to bring a reality check to everybody in this room. They published an article on one side. It said, saved, 724. And on the other side of the column of the newspaper, it said, lost, 1,500. They got on the boat here. It was first class, second class, third class, fourth class. They hit an iceberg. 1,500 of them drowned. And when they got on the other side, they didn't ask, are you first class, second class, third class, fourth class? No, they had two columns. It was called saved. It was called lost. On that side, on this side, amen, it mattered. On that side, it didn't matter. On this side, the rich young ruler had life by the tail. He had money, manners, wealth. He had everything. It looked like he had everything. But on the other side, he didn't have Jesus Christ. And that stuff don't matter up there. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. On this side, it mattered if I was first class, second class, third class. But when they got to New York, the only thing that they wrote down was saved or lost. I don't care what it is. Your social standing in this community doesn't affect the Lord. Your political party doesn't bother the Lord. Your money doesn't bother the Lord. Your last name doesn't influence or intimidate the Lord. The only thing that I care about tonight, and the only thing the Lord cares about, is one day we will stand in front of Him, and I might, listen, my baptism's not going to get me in. My last name's not going to get me in. My denomination is not going to get me in. Just because my family was a Christian, no, that's not going to get me in. The only thing that's going to matter on that day is my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? There's two types of people on this planet. Saved and lost.
Yeah.
On this side of heaven, all that junk seems to matter to us. It matters to us our gender, how much money we make, how many likes that we have on social media, how many followers, what our family name is, how much land we own, whether they're a business owner or not. All that stuff can get you special treatments. What college you went to, what seminary you went to, what political party you're affiliated with, what type of vehicle you drive, what's your role in the community, what church you attend. All that stuff, look at me, folks, all that stuff matters on this side. You say, well, it matters to the world. And they treat people different based on that stuff. But with the Lord, saved are lost.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all know this. I mean, you got a Bible believing preacher. Amen. Y'all go to this type of stuff all the time. But one day I was sitting there reading my Bible and I preached about this rich young ruler and I got to thinking, man, he was respected.
Yeah.
He was loved. They called him sir. I'm sure they probably talked about him. He could command people and they would do it because he was a ruler. They stooped and bowed. They knew his name, but the Lord said, a certain man.
Yeah.
A certain ruler. And if that bothers you, maybe you got a little bit of pride that you need to work through. I don't know what it is. But I do know this, Revelation chapter 20. Y'all read it with me. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. There it is. That's rich and poor. That don't mean just small people and tall people. That's talking about the people that was important on this side. The people that was looked over on this side. All ground is level at Calvary, and all ground is level at the judgment seat of Christ, and is right here at the great white throne judgment. The Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. In 15, please, look at this verse. And whosoever... rich, poor, it doesn't matter. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Are y'all getting this? You can have everything on this side, but without him, that's where you end up. Amen. One time, all right, now if you are saved, y'all pay attention just for a second. If you are saved, this is something just for us. Because one time the disciples were rejoicing. And they were saying, man, the spirits are subject to us and this and that. And the Lord told them, he said, no. He said, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject to you. He said, but rejoice that your names are written down in that book that I just read about. You say, what happened? Well, a while back, whenever I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, there's a roll book up there in heaven, and my name was written down with the permanent blood of Jesus Christ. It was sealed with the Holy Ghost of God. And when the roll is called up yonder and that book is open, and he said, says my man, I'll stand up and say, yes, sir, here I am. You say, present and accounted for.
Yeah.
You say what? But the Lord knows my name. If you're saved, he knows your name. If you're saved, he's got your name written down. And I just thought to myself, all them people that had everything when they left England, they had money, they had the cots, they thinking, man, we're going to have the best in the world. And there was over there, absolutely, 2,224 of them. 1,500 of them died. And on the other side, and they got there, they didn't say, now, were you first class? Yeah. Oh, yeah, now, you had the steak and the fish, and you had... No. It didn't matter. Oh, you lived in a big brick house down here? Or you was the big business owner, wasn't you? No, that stuff mattered.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you was that member of that... No. Mm-mm. You get up there to heaven... saved,
yep.
Lost.
That's right.
Christ or without Christ?
That's right.
Rich young ruler, three different times, know nothing about him besides that. Amen? If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, can I just encourage you tonight? Why in the world would you put that off? Why in the world would you reject that?
I wouldn't do it.
The dead and small, listen, they're the great and small, they'll all stand before him one day. If I didn't know for sure that heaven was going to be my home, I promise you, I'd nail it down tonight. I'd get that thing taken care of tonight because you can have everything on this side, but one day you will go to the other side. And if you don't have Christ, you will end up in a lake of fire. And God said, hey, I'm not willing that any should perish. That's why God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He lived a life that we couldn't live, died the death that we deserved to die, rose from the grave, amen, something that we could not do, and He'll save whosoever was not found written in that book. But He also said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
So whosoever. Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Good.
Lord, just please bless the reading of your word and a simple, simple message. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.